All right, well, welcome back to the Discovery Group Leader Training Podcast. This is a series of podcasts for group leaders. We're here to empower you to be the most effective group leader you can be. Why is that? It's because Jesus gave all of us, as his disciples, the mission to make more disciples. So when we look at his example, we see that Jesus himself was a group leader. Go figure. Mm-hmm. We're trusting that if it worked for Jesus, it will work for us. We're your hosts. My name is David. Joining me today is
Ben Markham.
Ben, you were taking a drink of your coffee there?
I did. Did you guys catch the coffee slurp? You probably did.
All right.
Yes.
Tell us about today's topic.
So we're in part one of a two-part series called Your First 2 Weeks.
Yeah.
And so last week, we gave you the why small groups, and we gave you a vision cast statement that you can use. We believe that group leaders need to say this consistently, and that is, we're here as a group to learn how to love God, to learn how to love each other, and to encourage each other to good works.
Yes.
But which needs to be said often and brought up and then celebrated when it happens. Now, what we want to get into this week is what's going to help you craft and create a small group where those three things can happen.
Yes.
Where you can learn to love God more, love each other more, and encourage one another to good works. And so jumping in, we've got four ingredients that we believe lend yourself to having this effective, healthy discovery small group. Okay, so David, let's jump right in on it. What's our first ingredient today?
Number one is called God sightings.
God sightings.
And if you've been around Discovery for any amount of time, you know we talk a lot about God sightings. I had never heard this term before I came to Discovery, but I'm on board with it. I love God sightings. So basically we're saying we're perceiving, making note of, being aware of how God is active in our lives, in any area of our lives, how he answers, provides, directs. We see God at work, and we acknowledge that, and we call it God sightings.
And that's when we say that's an ingredient of a small group, what you're saying is that when our groups get together,
yes,
they actually talk about this.
Yes, they should.
There's an expectation, if you will, that they're going to show up with something to report.
Yes, that's what makes a discovery group a discovery group. And if you do a message-based group, it's built in every week.
Yes, yeah, our message-based
groups. Just a little plug for that.
we love message-based groups. Those are groups that follow along with the weekend sermon series. But we begin with that God sightings. Now, something we've learned, because this term is unfamiliar,
yes,
and this way of thinking is unfamiliar, when small groups start out, the God sightings portion of the small group, you know, the leader might think they're going to get 20 minutes of celebrating the goodness of God and all the things he's done in people's lives, and they end up with like 20 seconds sometimes or 2 minutes. It can be very brief. Why is that?
I think people need to grow into their willingness to share, their sense that they can trust the members of their group, and perhaps grow into the whole range of what a God sighting could be in their lives. They might think it's, as you said, at some point in the past, they have to be on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be quite that miraculous to be a legitimate God sighting.
It doesn't have to always be, that level of a biblical level miracle. God's working in our life all the time. And what we're trying to help people do, and where we believe this makes disciples, is we're trying to heighten people's awareness of God's activity in their life.
Of course.
With the expectation that they will come and share it, and we can all celebrate it together.
Yeah.
And that can be from something small, like the interaction between you and a retail worker, and the changes in a conversation happens, and something positive comes out of it that you sense, I think God might be at work in that. Maybe that's somebody I'm going to witness to in the future.
Yes.
It could be a worship song you're listening to in the car, and it's like God highlights one lyric and says,
oh, yeah,
that was for you.
Yes.
It could be something you hear in a message that really, really just stirs your heart. So God sightings can happen any number of places. One of the big ones for us is prayer requests, which we'll get to in just a little bit.
Yes.
As we're praying for things, we hope people are coming back and saying, here's what God did. And so this is big. It is not included in every curriculum. I've read a lot of small group curriculums. There are plenty that never take time to celebrate what God's doing. We think this is pivotal in disciple making, is to have people regularly celebrating what God's doing through God sightings. Okay.
Agree. What's number two?
Number two, biblical content. We are not a self-help group.
No.
We're not getting together just to pat each other on the back for attending church or for being in a Christian country club.
Yep.
We're rooted or instructed by God's word.
We are.
And we want that to shape the conversations that we're going to have. And so if you're in a message-based group, then you're listening to one of our weekend sermons, and there's lots of scripture.
Yeah,
and
there
so,
is.
Sometimes as we write those questions, we'll add like, go back and read the core text, or we'll add texts that support the core text. We don't approve small group material that doesn't have lots of biblical content.
Yes.
And so some small group leaders will approach us and say, I found this material. Can I use it for my group? And one of the first things we're looking at is there biblical content?
Of course.
And if there's not, we don't use it. We're not just interested in reading a self-help book together. We want biblically based material to be what's driving the groups.
Yes, I agree.
All right, so let's go to ingredient number three. Just a quick recap. We've got God sightings, biblical content. What's ingredient number three, David?
Next is application questions, because it's not good enough to just hear or learn stuff. We need to actually build it or apply it into our life. In fact, Jesus says this in John 13:17. Now that you know this, you will be blessed when you do it.
That's so good.
James tells us we can't be just hearers of the word. We must be doers. And James also says that faith without works is dead in James chapter 2:17-18. So it's okay to be growing on a continuum. You may be new to faith, but you're applying and growing. So it's a both and, it's an ongoing process. But that comes when we apply truth to our lives in a real way, day by day.
So this is really where you get that concept. I'm going off the top of my head. I think it's Proverbs 17:17 or 17:3 of iron sharpening iron.
Exactly.
So we don't just want to talk about biblical content and all grow smarter in our Bible knowledge.
Right.
What we're hoping is that we're moving this into a place of heart transformation.
Of course.
That leads to living differently.
Yes.
And so what would be some examples of application points that we would be asking people to make as a result of the conversation that's been had in the group?
Well, let's use a recent example. We were talking about being in the Word. And perhaps you're asking people, is this a regular practice in your life?
Oh, to read the Bible?
Yeah, yeah. And perhaps people say, you know, I don't really read the Bible. I come to church, but I don't really read it outside of church. Recently, we had a YouVersion plan where it was 28 days of daily readings. And it encouraged the practice of being in the Word. And that could be an application for you. You realize, hey, I don't really read or listen to the Bible. I should probably do that. We'll see. Here's an easy on-ramp to begin that practice, build that habit, make that application in your own life.
And then, you know, the group essentially has an opportunity to encourage one another to that good work, to reading their Bible every day. You know, other points of application can be things like attitudes that need to change.
Exactly.
And then, frankly, there's times where the points of application are massive asks, meaning it can be different for each person, but what I'm saying is sometimes you're going to be sitting in a group and the application question would require significant change in your heart and your mind and your thinking. But then you come back next week and they ask you three more application questions. You're like, wait a minute. I just made a massive commitment to change my whole life last week. Are you asking me to do it again? And I think this is where we get where groups can get it very right or very wrong. Following up on applications from the week before or being willing to say, I've loved our discussion today, but I got to tell you, God is still working on me about what he spoke to me last week and this attitude that needs to be changed, and here's what I'm doing about it. And so the application questions can be from what you just talked about today, but there can also be that element of saying, how's it going from last week? Is God still working on you in that? And so there are sometimes massive asks, and then sometimes there are subtle. They're what you would call those minor course corrections, where a person just leaves and says, well, you know, I know what I need to do. I need to go apologize to somebody.
Yes.
And once that's done, it's kind of done.
Yes.
Right? But if you're working on a heart issue of, I need to be a forgiving person, That could take weeks. All right, we got just a couple minutes left. Let's go to our last ingredient here, okay? So give us our final ingredient.
Our final ingredient is prayer requests. Galatians 6:2 tells us to carry each other's burdens. So when we pray, God works. And when we share what we need, God works through us as we pray for each other.
Mm-hmm. So we've made this a key ingredient to what we're doing, in part because we see it's an incredible relationship building time.
Mm-hmm.
When you simply ask somebody, how can I pray for you? There's an act of trust and an act of humility
exactly.
for them to answer that question. You know, it's a humble thing to say, I need help. Can you help me? And when a person says, I need you to pray for me, they're saying those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Here's this need in my life. And so it's a neat thing to see a transition in a group from the group asking us to pray about their aunt who lives in another state, who's
yes.
struggling with some sort of rash, you know, to starting into real issues in their own life and saying,
right.
I need prayer for this heart issue. I need prayer for this attitude, for this job opportunity coming up, this
mm-hmm.
course direction in life I'm considering making.
Yes.
People will really open up during prayer requests.
They
and
will.
So it plays a pivotal role in learning how to love each other well.
It does. It does. Well, so those are our top four things.
Yes. Those
Don't.
Are our top four things, guys. And let me just add one last thing. We got to wrap up here. We got 20 seconds. Prayer requests feed into God's sightings.
They do.
And what's going to happen is people are going to come back after a few weeks and they start saying, I've been praying for that prayer request, what happened? And they want an update. They want to know.
Exactly.
And they get to be there for each other in that way. And it's great to record every prayer request. I have a guy that's his job in my small group. And
that's
then he texts everybody else the actual the prayer request. We pray for each other. All right. Get us out of here, David.
So don't miss any of these four key ingredients in your group. Be sure to join us next time when we continue the discussion on the first 2 weeks of your group. And remember, the better the leader, the better the group. So go make some disciples.